B-Pod Studios.
Without further ado, Jimmy Kemsky joins us right now from Philly Voice. Jimmy, how are you making out in the madness, my friend?
I am sick as hell, but I don't really have, you know, matching symptoms to the coronavirus, so hoping for the best.
What's going on? What are the symptoms there, Jimmy? Are you just not feeling well?
It's more like, for me, I think it's more like a really, really bad cold, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's not good.
Can you keep 6 feet away from your phone while you talk to us?
Oh, I've been keeping away from people for like about a week and a half now, I'd say.
Good for you, man.
Is there a test in your future, Jimmy? And I'm not making light of it. Like, do you go get tested? Like, how do you handle it?
Yeah, so my girlfriend's been over here quite a bit, and, you know, she was sick too. So she actually, I live in Marlton, so there's a facility in Marlton where she went over to get a test. And, like, the doctor looked at her and said, like, you have mucous membranes and you have this and you have that. That's not consistent with, you know, the typical symptoms for this. And they said, we're not going to waste a test on you. But that was like 4 or 5 days ago. I don't know. Like, it's, I don't know if we have it or not, but we're not in like any kind of danger of needing hospitalization or anything like that. So, we're just going to ride it out for a little while longer.
Mm. Okay, let's talk football.
All right. Trey seems curious. Jimmy, so yesterday the news comes down, the Eagles go and get Darius Slay. What was your immediate reaction to the news?
Yeah, so there are two ways to look at that from my perspective. So heading into free agency, you know, I guess the debate would be, if you're going to go out and get like one of these top, you know, these top tier cornerbacks, and I'd put two guys in that category, Slay and Byron Jones. For me, the better play is to just sign a guy like Byron Jones. You've got to overpay him a little bit, and you can keep all your draft picks. That would have been the direction that I went. Obviously, Byron Jones chose the Dolphins. He got paid there. He was momentarily the highest paid corner in the NFL, and the Eagles were kind of left, you know, kind of searching for plan B at that point. They were definitely in on him. So, like, when they missed on him, they didn't want to miss on him. They wanted to sign Byron Jones. So, When they missed on him, they moved to the next option. They've been talking to the Lions for a long time. They had engaged in talks with them at the trade deadline during the 2019 season for Darius Slay. So at that point, once they missed on Byron Jones, then they kind of had to find a top quality corner, because if you look at their season last year, they gave up more 40-plus yard pass plays than any other, including the playoffs, than any other team in the NFL. Just the big plays that they were giving up, you can't have that year over year. You're just not going to be successful. So they had to stop that bleeding. And I think the trade compensation of a 3 and a 5 is fine. And then the contracts that they gave them, it was reported by me and a lot of other people, the most lucrative cornerback contract in the NFL. And that's in terms of new money. So that's just looking at the extension itself. But for the Eagles, the entire thing is new money. So he still has 1 year left on his current deal. And if you average out the 4 years that he's under contract now, it's $15 million a year, which I think is a reasonable price to pay him.
All right. Now, when you say that their first order of business was to go sign Byron Jones and that didn't work out, so then they kind of shifted to Slay. So in no way do you see this as any type of panic move, do you?
Well, so they actually had two guys in free agency itself that they were honed in on, and that was Byron Jones and Javon Hargrave. When they missed on Jones, they pivoted to Hargrave, actually. They wanted to get at least one of those two guys. So they were able to bring Hargrave in. And then at that point, it was, refigure out, like, what they wanted to do at the corner position. And, you know, they went after Slay at that point. So I don't think it was a panic move necessarily, because they had done, obviously, plenty of homework on Slay, seeing as they tried to acquire it in the past. So they knew exactly what they were going after when they kind of pivoted to Slay after they didn't get Byron Jones. So I wouldn't call that a panic move necessarily, in that, you know, they don't know what they're getting here. They've obviously put in the time and the energy to really, you know, dig in on him and what he is as a player. So no, I wouldn't call it a panic move, but I would definitely call it plan B.
What about the Jalen Mills move to safety, Jimmy? I mean, is it, I don't want to call it a panic move, but are they settling on what they have and trying something different, or do you have reason to believe he can really prosper there?
Yeah, it's a surprise when that came out. If they were going to move a corner to safety, in my mind, that would have been Avante Maddox, but apparently it's Jalen Mills instead. And I think it's easier said than done, you know, moving a corner to safety. And Jalen Mills does have safety experience. He played that a little bit at LSU, came into the NFL and obviously became a corner. But his speed at the corner position, obviously, we've all seen it. Like, it's not ideal. He can't run with, you know, the faster receivers in the NFL. So I think for him to survive in the NFL over the long term is a move to safety. But I think there's probably going to be some rocky moments along the way because, you know, moving from one position to another in the NFL really isn't as easy. It's easier said than done is what I'll say. And, you know, I don't know if the plan going into 2020 is for the starting safeties to be Rodney McLeod, who, by the way, I don't think was very good last year, and Jalen Mills. Like, I think that's a shaky plan at best if that's the way they're going forward.
Do you think that is Slay a guy that can be used on both sides, though?
Oh, so, yeah. So he can play inside, outside. They had him, the Lions had him mirror the opposing wide receiver's best, or the opposing team's best wide receiver often in their defensive scheme last year. Jim Schwartz doesn't like to do that all that much, but yeah, he's certainly capable of playing all over the field.
All right, now, Jim Schwartz and his run defense has been great over the last couple of years. They were third in the NFL last year. I think the year they won the Super Bowl, they were second in the NFL. I know they were top five. And now they've finally done something to really bolster their secondary. And we really haven't seen that too many times in recent years with the Eagles. So now they have this stacked defensive line, at least when it comes to the defensive tackles. A lot of beef, as we've been saying, at the DT position. So now they've tried to balance that out a little bit. Can this be a route to force more turnovers as a defense by getting after the quarterback as much and now having somebody who's been a ball hawk in years past?
Oh, sure. Like, Slay had 8 picks in his best season, which was 2017, and I forget exactly how many he had in the last 2 years, but he's obviously a player who makes a lot of plays, and they wanted to bolster that defensive line, obviously, as we saw with the addition of Javon Hargrave. And they have a lot of money tied up at the defensive tackle position in Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson and Javon Hargrave, and I kind of understand why they went that route, because you look at last year, you know, Malik Jackson misses 15 games. You have Hassan Ridgeway, he missed 9 games. Timmy Jernigan has really struggled, you know, to stay healthy. And we went into the 2019 season thinking, well, they're stacked at defensive tackle, and then all of a sudden, they weren't. And I think that was a big reason for the defensive, sort of like an underrated reason for the Eagles' defensive struggles last year. And they want to be really strong at that position. Obviously, they're paying 3 guys the amount of money that they're paying at that spot. So, you know, the league has kind of become like an inside-out kind of thing where you want to get pressure in the quarterback's face. So, you know, certainly those guys will help against the run. Defensive ends are both really good against the run, and Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett. And, you know, I think that the defensive line's kind of coming together, but they really are paying a lot of money to all those guys.
Jimmy, after wide receiver, what do you think is the next position that the Eagles will address? Not the one that you think they should, but the one that you think they will.
Safety.
Okay.
Yeah, I think even if they do believe that Mills and McLeod are going to be their starters in 2020, I would still say they need a third safety, because they've used their third safety quite a bit over the last few years. And even if it's not like a big name guy, do you think they're going to bring in a safety at some point?
Do you think do you see them doing anything to help out with the offensive line? Because you have some guys that you're missing with Jason Peters, with Big V. So do you see them making any changes, bringing in some people for the offensive line as well?
If they do, it'll be a low level guy. I mean, you look at the offensive line market, and those guys are getting absurd money. Like, Big Z got 5 years, $50 million, which is crazy. So, like, you look at sort of the contracts that those guys get, and the reason why is simple. Like, offensive line play is terrible, just generally speaking, across the league. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are set, I guess, at all 5 of their starting spots. You know, Andre Dillard, whether you like him or not, is probably going to be your left tackle. Sam Hall is going to be your left guard. Kelsey, Brooks, Johnson. And it's a strong offensive line. Really, the only thing they'd be adding there would be depth. But I think it's probably more likely that I think they will add to the offensive line, but I think it's probably more likely that they do that in the draft as opposed to free agency.
Okay.
How about the next move here when you talk about the Yannick being available from the Jaguars, supposedly? What would the Eagles, you think, be willing to give up to get him?
Yeah, it's surprising to me to see that, you know, I mean, I don't even know if the interest from the Eagles' part is real. Obviously, Yannick was posting a lot of things on Instagram yesterday. He posted a picture of Reggie White. He posted something like Vulture or something like that, and kind of got people all riled up. I don't know if there's interest there or not. I mean, they should have interest because, you know, any pass rusher becomes available, any really good young pass rusher becomes available, and, you know, a lot of teams should be interested in that guy, obviously, and the Eagles, you know, in their history have always, you know, gone after those kinds of guys. But heading into free agency, you know, even before he got tagged, I wondered how much interest they would have in him because, again, no matter what you, me, or whoever else might think of Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett, the Eagles love those guys. So if you do bring in a guy like Unique, you know, one of those guys is now not a starter anymore. And, you know, you and I may say, well, that's a huge upgrade. And it certainly would be. But, you know, at the same time, they really like those two guys and believe in them. So I don't know if there's a really move coming down the pipe for Unique, but it's certainly interesting. And they do 100% improve the team if they were to bring him in.
I don't doubt that. I know. Would you give up a first rounder?
I probably would not give up a first round pick for him because, you know, those picks are so extraordinarily valuable. Unique is already going to be making a ton of money just on the franchise tag alone. If you trade for him, not only are you giving up a first round pick, but you're paying him a ton of money too. So, you know, those first round picks don't really make, especially where they're drafting at 21, those guys don't make much money over the next 4 years. And it's kind of like, you know, a cheap player that you expect to be a starter pretty quickly in his first year. So it's a really big resource to shell out for a guy that you're also going to have to pay.
All right. Speak with Jimmy Kemsky, PhillyVoice.com. He does not have the coronavirus, but he is feeling a little under the weather. He feels pretty good about himself, though. Jimmy, last thing for you. Best job, worst job you ever had?
Oh, all right. Best job is the current one that I have.
There you go.
Good man.
Worst, and that's by far. And then worst job would be, so I was like, I guess I was kind of like a busboy, I guess. It's still there. It's a place in Long Beach Island during the summer. There was one time, if you allow me to be disgusting here for a second.
Definitely. Come on, you've been on with us before. You know we were our lowbrow humor.
So busboy didn't just mean like, you know, bussing tables and like, you know, cleaning dishes. It was busboy like encompassed everything. It was cleaning tables, like washing dishes. Basically every, like, it was Charlie work if you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So there was one time a guy came in, like an older guy, and he went into the bathroom, and he had an accident, and the accident was all over the bathroom. And the manager was like, "Yeah, you got to clean that up." I'm like, you're high if you think I'm cleaning that up. And but that was probably the worst job, just having Charlie work at this restaurant.
This is the second day in a row we spoke to somebody else who covers the team yesterday, Zach Berman. Now and that's when the Slay news broke. Now this isn't with the Eagles, but Todd Gurley reportedly going to the Falcons.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's
that?
That makes sense.
Yeah, that just broke now. I saw Jordan Schultz was the first person I saw.
Yeah, another guy, Dov Clyveman, has it as well.
And then Ian Rappaport, Todd Gurley has already landed home. Rams star, former Rams star, signing a one-year deal with the Falcons per source.
Mm.
So there you go. Jimmy, thanks so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy, man. Jimmy Kemsky, Philly Voice, PhillyVoice.com. Jimmy started off by saying, "I'm really sick." So that got me worried. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, "But not Corona." Like, his girlfriend got
tested. Doesn't know. You know, I mean, not to put a damper on things, but...
He said his girlfriend's been over a lot. So good for Jimmy. And then second, she went and got tested. She's fine.
No.
What?
She didn't get tested.
Oh,
she didn't get tested.
They said that you don't have the symptoms.
She's not an NFL, NBA, or NHL player, so they didn't test her.
No, she didn't get tested.
She went to one of the big sites where you can go and get tested.
And they looked at her and said,
Yeah,
you're okay.
Yeah.
Even though we have the likes of Sean Payton and another guy saying, yeah, I don't know, I just woke up not feeling
right. Put the back of the hand on her forehead. Let me check, let me see if you're all right, you know.
Put the hand on the forehead.
Let me check you. Oh, yeah, you're all right. Don't worry about it.
While they're shaking the bottle of the Mercuricome in the next.